When you go on stage, do you ever kind of like censor yourself, or do you just kind of just go with whatever's in your head?
Well, I've got the stuff that I say like as in jokes, but no, I never censor it. And sometimes I've said some absolutely terrible things. I've had to apologise afterwards because it just comes out and then you're like, oh, shit. But that happens at work as well. I said something horrible to a girl the other day and she just looked really upset. And I wanted to say, no, I didn't mean it, but it had already come out, so... I just sort of thought, oh, I'll make it up to her later, which I did.
I do like your Facebook statuses. They are funny, but I often think I could never get away with that. But maybe you can, you know. So.
What do you mean?
Well, just sometimes you say things like, "Oh, the people at work were blah blah," and then you'll kind of say something that you said on that day, and they're very funny. They make me laugh anyway, so.
Yeah, you know, they have a little following all of their own. I think it's because. I don't give a shit. I'm not friends with anyone from my work on Facebook for that very specific reason, because I just think everyone works in an office so that they can support what they really want to do, at least everyone I know anyway. And everyone who works in an office has those people in the office, and it's quite fun to make fun of them as long as you're not hurting anyone's feelings, you know?
When you're doing comedy, is there any like limits, that any kind of places that are off limits completely for you?
God, not that I've got to yet. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm not a good enough comic to sort of do those, like the sort of stuff that Louis C.K. does, where he says really, really dodgy stuff. But because he's so amazing, it's just funny rather than offensive. I'd like to get to that point, but I don't think there's really nothing off limits. Because, like, you know, I make jokes. I don't know, because you're not making jokes about things like you think they're funny. Like, I've got a Holocaust joke, but I don't think the Holocaust's funny, and I don't think that anyone would hear that joke and think that I thought it was funny, because it's not funny. But the joke is really funny, I think.
The problem is, I see a lot of kind of comics who are just starting out and stuff, and are just trying to be offensive for offensive's sake, and they're just not very good with how they are comedically, but also they're just trying to get a sort of reaction from people. Which is just the worst, isn't it?
Well, I'd rather have someone laugh. So if something's not funny, then I'd say that if you're going to mention, like, rape or paedophilia or the Holocaust, your joke better be bloody funny, or there's no point in doing it. Like, you sometimes go to a new act night or like, a new competition night, which I've done loads and probably still do loads. But you go to that, you can have, like, five or six what I call paedophile comedians, like, one after the other, and unless their jokes are funny, it's just horrific. You're just listening going, why are you doing this to my ears? I don't want to hear about that. It's horrible. So I don't talk about stuff like that because I don't think it's that funny. But I guess it could be funny in the right hands. Mine are not in the right hands. I don't have paedophile hands, basically.
Oh, what would they look like?
Oh, God, big and yellow, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what paedophile hats look like. Let's not talk about them. They're horrible.
when you said, oh, there was five paedophile comics, I genuinely saw, like, this kind of Gary Glitter type person wandering along saying, oh, yeah, with four of their friends, you know. But, yeah, maybe there is a market for that one day, you know.
That's a horrible genre, but I think there was. I think a while ago, when people started doing things deliberately to shock, I think the first people who do anything, it's you know, shocking. Being a shock comic is a really interesting thing, but if everyone's doing it, the shock value is somewhat diminished. I would always rather just make people laugh, I think, but then I'm traditional like that.
So back in the day then, when you were growing up, who were you, the people who you used to listen to on, like, on tapes, you know, like comedy stand-up tapes and stuff like that, and watching programmes. Who are your main inspirations then, apart from Victoria Wood, obviously?
Oh, the very first comedy I ever heard in my whole life was Joyce Grenfell, who is this kind of, like, 1940s amazing character comedian. I used to listen to her when I was at school, and I was like about 4 or 5 years old, and she does this nursery school thing where it's just her talking to a big room full of children, but there's no children, it's just her having a conversation with these imaginary children. and in a similar way to the way I think everyone's got all these office people that they hate, she has all these sort of stereotypes of children, and she's just conducting a lesson all by herself. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever hear. That was the first comedy I ever heard, and I thought it was amazing. I don't do a lot of character stuff because, I mean, you can't compare to someone like her. She's the best character comedian in the world. She was. She's dead now.
Well, yeah, you would kind of expect she'd be quite old.
Anyway. She was very, 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 very. She sounded like you wanted Enid Blyton to sound like before you realised that Enid Blyton was a really scary, horrible mum.
Think Enid Blyton talks in a very kind of nice way about lemonade and stuff. I kind of, you know, in my head, you know, it's all very nice, you know. But in terms of like female comics, when you like actual stand ups and stuff, was there any kind of ones that kind of stood out for you, or were you more into kind of male comics? Or,
well, when I was growing up, I didn't listen to a huge amount of comedy. I watched a lot, like I watched Fawlty Towers and Blackadder and stuff like that. But I didn't sort of listen to or go and see a lot of stand-up. So when I did start going to stand-up, I was a little bit older. There's a couple of female comics now that I think are amazing. Like, I think Maria Bamford is one of the best comics in the world. Like, female or no female, I think she's the best comic in the world, or one of, anyway. I think she's amazing. But, yeah, like when I was growing up, Joyce Grenfell, I loved Victoria Wood, obviously. Everyone does. You know, French Disorders were amazing. But I didn't... You're supposed to see it as men and women, but I didn't. It was funny or not funny. And so, you know, if lots and lots of men make me laugh and only a few women, that doesn't make me think that women aren't funny. It just makes me think lots of men have made me laugh and a couple of women.
So what shows have you been watching recently then? TV, DVDs and whatnot?
Oh, God, loads. I've been watching The League, which is this absolutely fantastic show from America. It's on season 3. It's about fantasy football. It's a real like lads program, and you don't have to understand football to find it funny. I think it's absolutely amazing. And I've been watching. I watched the new John Mulaney special, which was amazing. He's one of my favourite comics. I think he's like probably possibly my best one. I went and saw Bill Burr live at Leicester Square Theatre. That was brilliant. I obviously downloaded and paid for, the, I don't know why I'm so proud of that, downloaded and paid for Louis C.K.'s latest special. That was absolutely fantastic. Did you see that?
No, I haven't, but I watched the TV series. I enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah, obviously the TV series, that was brilliant. What else have I been watching? Oh, the new series of 30 Rock's really good. The new series of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, it's really dark, really funny. And I've been watching a really trashy show, actually I can't tell you about it, it's too trashy, it satisfies the 12-year-old girl in me who just constantly wants to be watching my so-called life but is actually 33 and can't. So yeah,
I'm going to say something about, I thought it was going to be one of them sort of programs like Essex or Chelsea or something like that.
No,
that was
gonna
be a guilty pleasure.
No, I can't watch stuff like that. That stuff makes me want to vomit. And that's not because I think I'm better than it or them. I just think it's shit and boring and I hate it. And also, I think a lot of times when people watch stuff like that, they're watching it in this kind of super ironic way, like they think they're better than them. I'm like, okay, you do that, I do this, but I don't find it fun to watch that. However, I do find it fun to watch teenage girls who look incredibly glamorous running around being terrorized by some mystery person in a show called Pretty Little Liars, which satisfied my need to go to a sort of American high school, which I never got to do because I'm not American and I'm not in high school. So yeah, I watch like pure fantasy, but I won't watch stuff where I feel like I find that kind of stuff, I don't think, I find like when they're making, I just, there's something mean-spirited about a lot of stuff that on TV, reality shows, that I just don't approve of at all. So I wouldn't watch them. Oh, but I wouldn't watch them when they're shit.
I was going to ask you as well, have you ever done a stand-up gig where you were about to do a line and someone kind of walked in who it was actually about?
Absolutely, kind of like... that happened Valentine's Day a couple of weeks ago, about last week, and I wasn't sure what to do about it. And then it makes you question whether your joke is, like, I had to question whether my joke was racist or classist, and obviously it wasn't racist, but I think it was a bit classist, and I can't really apologise for that, because it's an observation that I made about the place where I live, which is Tottenham, and I make an observation that it's disgusting and there's a lot of pit bulls around. It is a bit disgusting and there are a lot of pit bulls around, and so that's sort of, I don't think necessarily, that's just me noticing it. Having said that, I didn't grow up in a place like Tottenham. I just moved there because it's what I can afford at the moment. And I notice it and I think it's grimy. And that's the joke sort of centres around that. I say, has anyone come from Tottenham? And this guy who was right on the front row was like, yeah, I come from Tottenham. And I just ploughed on with making fun of Tottenham. And I could see him getting annoyed. And then he started talking all through my set. Later on, it was revealed to me that him and his friends were off their faces on God knows what, and they kept nipping up to the toilets to do the thing that they were getting off their faces on. And I'm not even sure he heard my joke or understood it because he was really wasted. So I think you have to plough on regardless, because if you're saying the joke, it means you think it. And whether it is, I mean, obviously, if you're doing a racist joke, that's not a good thing. But if you're doing a joke that is noticing a difference, yeah, do it and suffer the consequences, I guess.
That I was going to do a joke about this guy. Basically, I used to work at this music shop, and what he used to do was he used to go out on a lunch break, take a female sales assistant with him, and go to the laundry section in Debenhams and buy women's underwear. They would help him, and he said he was going to set up a women's underwear shop.
It was for him, right? The underwear was
there. Well, he said that he had loads of underwear all over his front room, and he was trying to say that he was going to set up a shop, but yeah, I think he was just a big transvestite, but which is fine. Rather than, why didn't he say that? You know?
You know why? Because he doesn't want to be judged. If somebody asked me to come and be their cover while they bought their own lingerie, I'd gladly do it. I'd prefer that they told me than that they kind of pretended that's not what it was for, but you know.
He was doing it every week.
I mean, nobody needs that much underwear. That is a bit
exactly.
weird.
That is, you know, I mean, fair enough, like a one-off sort of thing. But when it's every week and he's getting like a female member of staff to go along, and he's actually going, well, I'm actually going to set it up very soon. So, but yeah, one of his friends walked into the stand-up, so I had to kind of go, no, I can't do that, you know, which was annoying.
It depends. Yeah, that's different. That's you being kind. That's like not you necessarily saying I'm not going to put myself on the line. It's you saying I'm not going to make fun of somebody at their expense while they're there. You know, like I think that's I would do the same thing if I was. I used to say stuff about this boy I was dating. Had he ever come, I would have taken it out because it was not flattering. But it was really funny. Well, I thought it was really funny. I don't think he would have found it funny at all.
Music. We're going on to music. What's the new hip tunes in your head at the moment?
There was this song by this guy called Goche. He's like, I think he's Australian or New Zealand guy. It's called Somebody That I Used to Know. It's really amazing song, and it looks like it's going to number one, but it wasn't before. It was just this kind of tune that everyone would go, have you heard this? Have you heard this? And I sent it to some people sent it to me, and the lyrics pretty much exactly describe a sort of an old relationship that I had once, and I think they must describe an old relationship of everybody, because they're really it's an amazing song. I love it. I hope it does get to number one.
So have you been to any gigs recently, music gigs?
Yeah, I went to see this band called Friends, which is a bugger to find when you're doing a Google search.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They're this American band. I think they're from Brooklyn, and I went to see them in Hoxton, and they are absolutely fantastic. And now they're also being played everywhere, and I'm really glad they're doing very well. I think they're just coming back to London to do some more gigs, but they're all sold out this time. But they were amazing, really pop.
So I was going to say, so as a northerner, you always hear about Hoxton being this kind of wanky sort of Nathan Barley type place. Is this?
God, I don't think I'm the right person to ask anymore. I used to go out there many years ago, but nowadays I just bake. I like, there's the joke is that Hoxton is really twatty and wanky, but it probably isn't anymore. Probably that's somewhere else now, and it's all moved on, and like the zeitgeist is happening somewhere else. I'm sure that must be happening. I think Dalston is now the place that you go to see people with ridiculous hair. I don't give a shit. If you want to have ridiculous hair, you should just go ahead and have it. I think it's very funny and very fun, and do what you want to do. I did laugh though, because last summer we were in the park and it was really, really hot, and there was this girl in this full on gold ball gown, and I just thought, come on now, like that's just silly. But oh God, far be it from me to tell people they shouldn't. I just, they all look the same while looking different. But again, who gives a shit, right? Like, let them wear what they want and congregate in the areas that they want to and think they're being individual. That's what children do, I think.
Have you ever worn kind of silly clothes out and about?
Always, yeah. I used to do that all the time. I probably, not so much anymore, but you know what? I did, like, I'll wear silly clothes, like, to festivals and stuff, because I used to go to a lot of festivals. But nah, I can't really be bothered, is the truth. Like, I can't be bothered to dress too much. I'm very jeans and a T-shirt. So, you know, I'm a bit boring.
You've calmed down, you see. That's the thing. When you get past 30, you know, you start calming down. You start thinking, no, I won't have a crazy haircut tonight. I'll just have it normal. You know?
I never had a crazy haircut. I'm just trying to think if I ever did. No, I mean, yeah, when we were much younger and we used to go, like, raving, we'd, like, put on loads of makeup. God, I don't know. Like, it's not... I never really cared that much about that sort of thing. But, like, I like dressing up when there's, like, a reason to do it, you know. I quite like a fancy dress party where you can get really creative with the outfit. I like making stuff. So I like making hats and I like making sort of outfits. But on a day-to-day basis, I can't be asked at all.
So you said you bake. What sort of stuff do you bake then?
I've got a bake sale on Sunday at the Crowd End Music Hall. Brownies, cakes. I do like special cupcakes. I used to do sort of wedding cupcakes, but then I realised that I was selling them at insurance, so I stopped. All sorts of stuff. Like, if I get in a bit of a mood, I'll bake because it's quite calming. I made some white chocolate brownies the other day. I think they're called blondies. They're cool though, they're nice. I put like nuts, pecan nuts in them. God, this is so boring, and I'm telling you about my... You asked me about Foxton. I'm telling you about white chocolate brownies. That's the most boring thing I've ever heard. Sorry. I haven't got anything else left. I've got nothing.
Have you had any interesting dates recently? Anything going on or...?
Well, yeah, this guy that I was seeing a little bit came to see me on Valentine's Day. We didn't acknowledge that it was Valentine's Day, but we'd had a little falling out, and then he came to see me and I got a bit drunk and I explained my feelings, and he's really nice about it. Of course, a date so much as a sort of existential crisis. I've had any dates? No, I've been doing lots of gigs, so... I haven't had any. Have you had any dates?
No, I'm in a relationship at the moment, so I imagine bad dates now in my head for stand up. So
it does get a little bit. It's quite good for material. I'm just trying to think because I should have something. I've been sort of emailing someone, but to be honest, like, I wouldn't call that a date really. I've been gigging so much that I even gigged on Valentine's Day just to avoid the there's no stress on my part because it's just a Hallmark holiday, but just to avoid anything to do with anything, I thought a gig would be a good idea, and it was lovely. It was full of couples though, which was a bit tough because if you've got bits in your material, you're like, are there any single people? And everyone just sit there staring at you, so I didn't ask that. There was no...
And the big fan question as well, which Kit Kat, chunky Kit Kat, is your favourite out of the four?
Oh, right, yeah. I've given this quite a lot of thought, actually, because I like all of them for different reasons. Like, I like white chocolate, because not many people do, so it's the underdog. Dark chocolate's a bit classy. Can't remember the last one. What was it, like double chocolate or something? But it's got to be, for me, it's peanut butter. It's a massive, massive fan of peanut butter. I've invented a peanut butter brownie recently that went down. If on a weekend I'm choosing a chocolate, it'll be the peanut butter.
And where can people find out about you on the World Wide Web then?
Oh, well, basically, I'm the worst self-marketer in the entire world. I'm just sort of hoping that I don't know, I'll become some kind of underground cult figure and people will just find me via osmosis through the internet or something like that.
Well, I'm following you now anyway, so, you know.
The existential crisis after the next. And I thought, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. I just find life really amusing. I don't think it needs to be a pun. But, I don't... I'll tell you what, if you want to buy cake that has nuts in and is not kosher on any level, come to the Crouch End Music Hall. They do it every month. They do this like craft fair every month at the Crouch End Music Hall. I'll keep saying it. And it's a brilliant craft fair, and the cake is extremely delicious because I made it and I'm really good at it.
Fair enough. Well, thanks very much. And you have a fun night baking and whatnot. I'll see you soon.
Bye, right, Bill. You have a good night too.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.